This segment is brought to you courtesy of Caribbean American Weekly, a newspaper owned and operated by Caribbean Americans. Read the latest edition at www.cawnyc.com. That's www.cawnyc.com. To like us on Facebook, to advertise or to subscribe, visit us at www.cawnyc.com. That's www.cawnyc.com. To advertise with the Caribbean American Weekly publication, for freelance assignments, to distribute at your business place, visit us at www.cawnyc.com. That's www.cawnyc.com. Or to meet a marketing representative at our office, call 718-771-0988. That's 718-771-0988. A very warm welcome to everyone. We are joined by a very special guest, the Honorable Mackie Holder, who is the Consul General for Barbados in New York. Welcome, sir. Good to have you here with us today.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Our pleasure as well. So, 55 years ago, Barbados gained its independence from Britain. Now, Barbados is set to be a republic and recently elected a president, Dame Sandra Mason. What does this all mean?
It just means maturity in the journey of self-governance. It's just another step that started way back the 1950s with the right to vote. And we went to independence. We've done some other things along the way, such as install national heroes in the late 90s. And this is not just another step towards realizing, you know, that we can truly, in every respect, chart our own course, manage our own affairs. And I think we demonstrated that conclusively over the decades since independence and actually before independence.
So, looking at the past, what role did Britain play after Barbados gained its independence, and how are matters going to be significantly different now?
You know, the truth is there wasn't any major role that Britain played. With independence, Barbados began to manage its own affairs under then Prime Minister, now National Hero, Right Excellent Errol Barrow. I mean, we had our own government, we had our own ministers, we did our own budget. All of that without assistance from Britain. Mm-hmm. We just held on to some titles and so on in terms of Royal Barbados Police Force and so on. And we had this construct where we had the Governor General as our head of state, which was really the symbolic connection remaining with Britain. Of course, in the 1960s, going into the 70s, Britain was probably our biggest trading partner. And we, at the time, we received aid, but that was no different from other countries in the region. So for all intents and purposes, Barbados has really and truly been managing its affairs, its internal affairs and external affairs since 1966 and independence. Britain has had no functional role in the 55 years since independence. So nothing really changes except that we now have a president and a Barbados head of state rather than a governor general as a representative of the Queen as head of state. Barbados is still going to be Barbados, still called Barbados, still with the same democratically elected prime minister who happens at this time to be our first female prime minister, Honorable Mia Amor-Maltby. And Barbados is going to continue the same way. It's going to be a stable country, a country known for democracy and rule of law, and with the same people, you know, beautiful people, hardworking people, people who make their way in the world and uphold the image of Barbados. So no fundamental changes there. Now, having said that, our Constitution needs some updating, and that will happen after a consulting process beginning in January next year. So there are one or two things that will change as a result of that. But fundamentally, no change. I think this is a symbolic thing, and symbolic things are important. Just as it is important that Barbadians, young Barbadians, we are a black country, grow up to see Barbadian heroes, Sir Right Excellent Gary Sobers, greatest cricketer in the world, and all the others, and that we have our reinforcement of our culture through the National Cultural Foundation and in all kinds of ways, images throughout the country, murals and so on and so forth. That is as important that people grow up to really feel that, you know, we are not just saying we are an independent country, but in all aspects we demonstrate symbolically and otherwise that we are independent.
So you mentioned symbolism, and there's been a purge, so to speak, where symbols and statues are being removed. Is that all part of the whole process?
No, we are really not into that. There has been a removal of Lord Nelson's statue from the center of Bridgetown, where it was for 300 years or so. And that is because people felt that was not representative of Barbados and who we are. Barbados, until our national heroes, really did not have a lot of statues. We are not a country really that idealizes people in that kind of sense. So there have not been a lot of statues to remove and so on. We've only removed Nelson's statue. So as I said, things continue pretty much the same. We have statues marking of Bussa, who represents a slave revolutionary. We have a statue of the Right Excellent Arabara, Father of Independence. We have a statue of Right Excellent Grant Lee Adams, who's father of our nation. He was the one who, in the late 1930s, started the whole process with the formation of the first political party, the first workers' union, and so on. We have a statue, as I said, of Right Excellent Sir Gary. We have one of Right Excellent Frank Walcott, who was the longest-serving General Secretary of the Barbados Workers' Union. We have a statue marking the Cubana crash as a tribute to our Cuban brethren. And a statue was recently erected by individuals of Sir Wes Hall, who was a known Barbadian cricketer. And I think those are the statues we have in Barbados, actually.
Okay, so, Mr. Holder, Barbados' Prime Minister, the Honorable Mayor Motley, has always shown leadership. Now that Barbados is going to be a republic, can we expect a greater leadership role, not just on a regional level, but internationally, globally as well?
I really don't know that she can be more of a leader on the global stage than she already is. The Prime Minister has been the force in Caribbean politics in a very short time. She has emerged as a spokesperson for small island developing states on issues like climate change, the need for resilience funding, even on vaccine inequalities. She has spoken fearlessly. She has spoken bluntly, whether at UNGA or the recently held COP meeting on climate change in Scotland. And she has fallen in the tradition of Barbadian leaders who are unbending when they have to speak clearly about issues that are important to Barbados and the region and other small island states. The truth is, issues like climate change and so on are matters of life and death for countries in the Caribbean. It is important that not only our leaders speak on these issues, but those of us who are of Caribbean extraction, wherever we may be, we need to be ambassadors for our home countries. So I don't know that the Prime Minister can be more of a leader than she already is. She has clearly demonstrated that, and I believe what she has said has resonated. You know, sometimes the most diplomatic person in the room is the person who is calling a spade a spade.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of what is happening worldwide, if you take things like vaccines distribution and so on, you know, the time for action has long passed. You know, more action, less talk. And we are not going to change things if we continue in the old way. And this is the whole gist of what the Prime Minister is saying. I also want to say that she's also bringing a new approach to Barbados. It has taken a bit of a setback because of the COVID challenges. But even before she became Prime Minister, she presented something called the Cabinet Change, the Cabinet for Change. And it includes, it's a philosophical document that encapsulates how she plans to operate. And an important thing as a sideline is that in the whole transition to a republic, she's actually given up some of her power. You know, if the Prime Minister would normally choose who the president is under the old system, now it is the president has to be chosen by electoral college. But again, I'm sure there will be occasions and other forums in which the Prime Minister will be called to speak on any number of issues, and she will do so with the same energy and forthrightness that she has certainly in the last couple of months and over the time that she has been Prime Minister. Small island states need leaders. Barbados has demonstrated in a lot of areas that it can be as capable, it can be even better than some developed states. If you look at our profile, that is where Barbados is. But the system has to change so that small countries can have opportunities to develop. And these opportunities cannot come if developed countries continue in the same way. If you look at vaccines as an example, New York has opened up, and New York is basically like Barbados. It is bigger, but New York is basically built on the same things that Barbados is built on, which are tourism and financial services. So for New York to benefit from worldwide tourism, people have to be vaccinated. So it's a win-win for everyone. So we have to get away from this thing about us and them and protecting X and protecting Y and seeing the bigger picture. And if we have not learned anything from the whole Black Lives Matter movement and COVID, I don't know what we're going to learn. But our Prime Minister will continue to speak clearly, vividly, if necessary, but unequivocally on matters that are relevant to Barbados and the region and all small states.
So, Mr. Holder, on 1 minute past midnight this year, November the 30th, Barbados is going to make that transition. What is your message to the Barbados diaspora? And also, you know, given the fact that the holidays are pretty much here.
In terms of our move to Republic, my message is simple. It's another mark in our journey. But the real journey is not the fact that we gained independence or we are going to become a republic. The real journey continue to make our country better, continue to uplift each other, continue to demonstrate that Barbadians are exceptional people and that we have a country that is exceptionally well managed. So in short words, let's redouble our efforts to demonstrate that whether we are an independent country or a republic country, that we will continue the journey towards excellence in all areas which we are known. In terms of the U.S. holidays, Thanksgiving and so on, I wish everyone well. I hope people are being vaccinated. Those that choose not to, I certainly hope that they're taking the precautions. But it is good to be able to get back physically with persons and take care. We're not out of the woods yet, but we're getting there. And with everyone playing their part, we will all get there. Meanwhile, enjoy life. Enjoy all of the friendship and food and family that comes with Thanksgiving and Independence and Christmas and so on, New Year's Eve and the like.
All right. So thank you so much, Mr. Holder. We wish you, your team and family the very best, and we look forward to having you back again.
And I want to thank you, Pearl, for the opportunity, and I wish you nothing but the best. Thanks for looking out for Barbados and your team. All the best now and the rest of the year, and hopefully into next year.
Yes, thank you so much. Our pleasure.
You're welcome.
This segment was brought to you courtesy of Caribbean American Weekly, a newspaper owned and operated by Caribbean Americans. Read the latest edition at www.cawnyc.com. That's www.cawnyc.com. To like us on Facebook, to advertise or to subscribe, visit us at www.cawnyc.com. That's www.cawnyc.com. To advertise with the Caribbean American Weekly publication, for freelance assignments, to distribute at your business place, visit us at www.cawnyc.com. That's www.cawnyc.com. Or to meet a marketing representative at our office, call 718-771-0988. That's 718-771-0988.